Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Coming up in the next few moments, we've got some great preaching for you from a church service at Christian Apostolic Church, where I pastor, and we're looking forward to playing that for you. Before we get to that, we're going to also bring you some wonderful music from Phillips, Craig, and Dean. And before we get to that, even still, there's one more thing I want to do. I want to tell you about a wonderful book that's going to be such a blessing to you. It's a biography called The Life and Ministry of Billy and Shirley Cole. More people have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost under the ministry of Brother Cole than any minister or preacher in the history of the church, dating all the way back to the book of the Acts of the Apostles in the Bible. This man's life was just phenomenal. He's passed on to his reward now, but you can read about his tremendous ministry. His story reads just like the book of Acts. You can get it at BillyColeBook.com. That's BillyColeBook.com. And now, the namesake cut from Phillips, Craig, and Dean's CD entitled Let Your Glory Fall.
You are good, you are good, and your love endures. You are good, you are good, and your love endures today. Lord, let your glory fall.
Today,
Lord, you are good, and your love endures. Amen. Well, we're taking you now into the sanctuary of Christian Apostolic Church to hear the preaching from one of our midweek Bible study nights. Now, I want to remind you that this message has been edited for time length, but here we are joining the service already in progress, and the message is entitled, Let's Do Something.
The word of the Lord says, And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? And I want to preach to you tonight on a very simple subject. Let's do something. Amen. It's not a very fancy title, is it? On the heels of a king who owed it to his people to do something, and he did nothing. The people were saved by four lepers who said, Why should we sit here until we die? Let's get up and do something. Let's go before the Lord and pray tonight. I know that there are times when we are supposed to be still and meditate on the Lord. I know that there are scriptures like that about being still on your bed and knowing that the Lord, He is God. But I'm reminded by this scripture and several others that there are some times in your life when the worst thing you can do is just sit and do nothing. In fact, there was once a point when the people were in despair and the enemy was bearing down on them, and their godly leader, in a total mistake of speech, told the people to be still and see the salvation of the Lord. And God spoke to the leader and said, What do you mean telling my people to be still? Tell the people to get up and go forth and they'll see my salvation. Now, I don't want anybody to misunderstand what I'm saying. I understand that there are times in your life when everything is fine and it's a good time to just be still and meditate on the Lord. But when the enemy has pulled out all the stops and has come against us with everything that he can muster, that's not the time to sit still until you die. That's the time to get up and say, My God, let's have faith. Let's have church. Let's worship God. Let's see a move of God. Let's see God bring his healing power. Let's do something. I like to hear Brother Lee Stone King preach. He is a great preacher. And I remember at one point I was able to hear him preach, and he was preaching on worship. And he was saying to the people, and there was a great worship in the crowd. There was just a tremendous move of God. But there must have been some people that were just sitting there doing nothing while everybody else was worshiping. And that caught his eye. And he began to say, My goodness, in this atmosphere, you ought to do something. And you could tell he was a little bit perturbed and a little bit anointed and a little bit inspired and a little bit aggravated, but he began to really preach to those people that could sit still in the midst of a move of God and do nothing. And he said, I know maybe you're old and maybe you're sick and maybe you're tired and maybe you're fed up, maybe you're worn out, maybe you're fatigued, maybe you're burned out. But he said, My God, couldn't you at least just prop your elbow up on the pew and wave a hand to God? Do something. And I remember little old Sister Hall in the St. Albans Church, 80-something years old. She'd outshout everybody. She'd outshout the 50-year-olds. She'd outshout the 40-year-olds. She would outshout the 30-year-olds. She would outshout the 20-year-olds. And then in testimony service, she would complain that she couldn't shout like she used to. I don't know how she used to shout, but I know when she was 80-something, she shouted more than anybody. But folks, There's something down deep in me that says if the devil's going to pull all the stops and he's going to attack us with everything he's got, then I'm not just going to sit back and let it happen. My Bible tells me that God inhabits the praises of his people. If we start praising God, it turns the room into a throne room. It turns the room into a house of God, and the Lord will come and save his people. Why don't we right now just stand to our feet and let's just lift our voices and lift our hands to God and give a praise to God. Woo! Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Come on, somebody. Why sit we here till we die? My God, let's have some church. Let's do something. Woo! The devil pulls all the stops out, and the devil comes to you and he tells you, you don't deserve a miracle. You don't deserve a healing. You don't deserve a move of God. You don't deserve to worship God. That's when you need to stand flat-footed and say, we're not talking about the basis of my worth. We're talking about what Jesus bought for me on the cross. His blood says yes, a miracle. His blood says yes, a move of God. It's not about what I deserve. It's about his grace and his mercy. If you sit still until you deserve a miracle, you'll sit still until you die. If you sit still until you're worthy to worship in his presence, you'll sit till you die. If you sit still until you're worthy to have the help of God, you'll sit till you die. You just need to realize it's not about me. It's about Jesus and his blood. He gave me this by his grace and his mercy. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated if you can. You could tell what was in the heart of the king of Samaria. On one hand, he put on sackcloth, and he put on his royal robes on top of the sackcloth. And he had it in his mind that he had his sackcloth on, that he was seeking God for a miracle. Now, normally sackcloth accompanies prayer and fasting. But I'd like you to study the passage. You can't find any biblical record that he prayed. He put on a show. In fact, at one point, he grew so disgusted with what was happening that his sackcloth became visible to the people. He was walking on the wall. He had his sackcloth on. He had his royal robes on top of it. He was walking on the wall, and one of his citizens, one of his people that he served as king, cried out to him, "Oh, my Lord the King, help me." He went over and he said, "If the Lord doesn't help you, where do you think I'm going to get help for you from? Maybe I'll go to the dust of the floor of the winepress and you think I'll get some help for you there. Or maybe I'll go to the dust of the threshing floor and get some help for you there." And then finally he got control of himself and he said, "Tell me what's wrong." Which is what he should have said in the beginning. And she said, "Well, it's like this. Everybody's starving to death. The enemy's outside. There's no food inside. Nobody can get out to get any food. And my neighbor woman, she says, 'Listen, you got a little boy, and I got a little boy. Why don't we just take turns? One day we'll boil your son and eat him, and the next day we'll boil my son and eat him.' And this woman said, 'I gave in, and we boiled my son and killed him, and we ate him. But now it's time for her to do the same. And she's hidden her son.' This is the kind of terrible trauma that the people were enduring. And the king just reared back and just ripped his royal robes, and everybody could see the sackcloth. His sackcloth is a show of having faith in God. His sackcloth is a show that he's seeking God for help. And yet, he will not lift a finger to try to fight for deliverance. And you ever heard the old saying, God helps those that help themselves? There's something wrong when somebody sits back and says, well, I'm seeking God for help, but they never lift a finger to actually try to get some deliverance. And what's amazing is that God worked it out for deliverance. And when the word of that deliverance reached the king, he didn't even believe it. He thought it was a trick. But let me tell you what really tells you where the king's heart is. The king is walking around and he's fuming. He's stewing. He's angry. I would be too. But then instead of saying, why don't we go to the preacher and ask the preacher to tell us what we ought to do? Instead of that, he says this, why don't we just go and kill the preacher? Let me tell you something, folks. When all hell breaks loose in your life, that's not the time to become a preacher killer. Now somebody says, well, that's just stupid preaching. Nobody's going to take a gun and shoot the preacher. Nobody's going to take a knife and stab the preacher. No, but you'll chew him up and spit him out for dinner. And gossip on the phone about how you don't think he's doing right and how this must be why you're going through what you're going through. You tell something about your heart when in the midst of your trial you turn into a preacher killer. He sent his servant to go haul the preacher out into the street so they could kill him. And the Bible says that the man of God was sitting in the house and the elders of the city were in the house with him. And just before the messenger from the king got there, the Lord revealed to the man of God what was happening. And he said, watch this. The king's servant is about to knock on the door. And the reason is because this king, who is the son of a murderer, wants to come and chop off my head. When he knocks on the door, just hold the door fast and don't let him in, because the feet of his master aren't far behind. And even as that servant was knocking on the door, this was what the king, who supposedly was seeking God, who supposedly was wearing sackcloth because he was seeking God for an answer, these are the words of great faith. I'm speaking sarcastically. The words that came out of his mouth. This evil is of God. Why should I wait on God anymore? Okay, well, stop waiting on him. What's the difference? When you're waiting on him, you don't do anything. And when you quit waiting on him, all you want to do is kill the preacher. Why don't you do something? Either wait on him and do something, or stop waiting on him and do something, but do something. How does he think killing the preacher is going to get rid of the army outside his front gate? And the man of God just walks out and just says this, tomorrow, 24 hours from now, tomorrow at this time, mark where the sun is in the sky. Look how long the shadows are. Tomorrow at about this time, all of this famine is going to be gone. There's going to be meal and barley and flour just being broke open on the streets. People are going to sell big old bags of flour for next to nothing. These people are absolutely beyond the description of words. They've resorted to cannibalism. And he says, tomorrow the food is going to flow in the streets. Anybody will be able to buy a big old bag of flour for just nothing almost. The man that the king leans on his arm, the king's right-hand man, he sticks his lip out and he says, if God opened the windows of heaven, how could that be? And the man of God just looked at him and said, I'll tell you something. You're going to see it with your eyes, but you're not going to be able to taste it. What's amazing is when they've got nothing left, there's these four lepers out in the city gate. And they're sitting here saying, we ought to do something. I'd rather be like that leper than to be like that king. These lepers are starting to think this through. If we sit here, we're going to die. If we go out there, we might die. But we might not. We got better chances out there than we do here. So why don't we do something?
That's right.
And so they got up and they started dragging their little leprous carcasses toward the enemy's camp. Now at this point, I got to imagine that God is saying, Mr. King, with your sackcloth and your torn royal robes, could you think you could get out of bed and see what these four lepers are doing? See, you're claiming you have faith in me, but you won't do anything. These people are at least willing to do something. And God says, hey, Gabriel, don't we have some big, powerful, heavenly sound equipment back in a closet somewhere? Yes, sir. Won't you go get it and just put the microphone right down next to those lepers' feet? And then as they're marching, put the speakers over here in the enemy's camp, and I want you to magnify it until it sounds like a whole army. So here they come. They're just clopping along, and the enemy is saying, Do you hear that? They've hired the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come and fight against us. We gotta run for our lives. And so they literally throw down all their food, all their gold, all their apparel. They leave it all behind. They're literally hurting themselves to run away from four lepers who just got the courage to do something. Four lepers coming along. But on the other end, they sound like a mighty army. Let me tell you something. Don't you judge the matter by how strong you think you are or how much power you think you have. Because it's not by might and it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. I'm telling you tonight, the word of the Lord is, don't sit there till you die. Get up and do something and watch what God will do. These four lepers drag their leprous carcasses into the enemy's camp. And they said, look at here, there's a fire on. Is that a goose on the spit? I've never had goose. Well, if it's not goose, it's an awful big duck. Duck, duck, goose. They eat until they're full. And one of them says, guys, you're not going to believe all the gold that's in this tent. They go in and they get armor and they get treasure and they get gold and silver. And they're saying, what are we going to do with it? We got to go hide it. So they run and they go and they dig holes and they hide it. And the Bible says they come back and they said, look, there's another tent. It's got more stuff just like the first one. And so they get all the treasure and they said, what are we going to do with it?
Bury it.
You got to go bury it. So they go out there and they dig a hole and they bury it. And then all of a sudden one of them says, wait a minute. We do not well. Church, can I tell you that when God sets you free, you do not well to go and bury and hide what God has done. They said, you know what? We have got to go spread the news that God has brought the victory. The enemy is gone. The food is here. We got to go tell everybody. Amen. Go tell everybody. Go tell everybody. Go tell them what? Go tell them that because Jesus died on the cross, they can receive healing in their bodies. Go tell them that because Jesus died on the cross, they can be set free from addiction to alcohol. Go tell them that because Jesus died on the cross, they can have their sins washed away and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, you know what the most common argument against spreading the good news is? They won't believe us. You know, not one of those lepers said that. When one of them said, you know, what we're doing is not good. We have got to go tell them. We have got to go and absolutely speak to somebody at the royal palace and get the word out of what has happened out here. Not one of them said, you know, I don't think we ought to. Nobody will believe us. I know that when they got there, the king didn't believe it. But that's not their fault. And it did not absolve them of their responsibility to go tell the news. And so they went. And the king didn't believe it. The king got out of bed, finally, because a man was shouting that there was news from the city gate. And the king gets out of bed, and this is what he tells his right-hand man and his people that are around him. He says, let me tell you what the Syrians have done. They know we're hungry. And what they've done is they've just abandoned their camp to go out and hide in the bushes. And when we come out to get their food, they will attack us. And they will capture us alive to be slaves, and they will get entrance into the city. Here's the thing, King. You're starving to death. Your people are starving to death. What matter is it if you die in here? Versus being a slave who's at least got some food in your mouth. But somebody finally talked sense to him. Maybe it was his left-hand man, because I know it wasn't his right-hand man. And this is what the fellow says. Thank God for this servant in the king's court that had a little bit of sense. He said, Your Majesty, you know there's just only a few horses left. Why don't we send some riders out? And if what you're saying is true, they'll just go out and they'll be caught and captured, and probably killed. But their fate will be the same as everybody else's in here. We're all going to die. At least we'll be doing something. The king finally listens to reason and says, okay, now he's acting like he's the one with faith. He goes to the chariot riders with their horses and he says, go out and find out what happened. Like he's the one who had the idea. So they go out and they come back and they tell him it's just like they were told. The king doesn't go to the people and say, okay, I've finally been convinced there's really some food out there. Matter of fact, at this point, the king has become irrelevant. No one in the whole kingdom cares what the king thinks anymore. As soon as the chariot riders get back, everybody's like, okay, live or die, I don't care what the king says. I'm going out there. I'm going to do something. And they all go out there and they find gold and silver and apparel.
Well, that's all the time we have for now. And so until next week, we encourage you to go with God. Don't forget to check out BillyColeBook.com. Do it today.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.